Good afternoon, Juno. It's 2:59 p.m., Monday, May 5th, 2014, and it's time for a Juno Afternoon. I'm Ken Fix, your host, in for Joan Pardis. Today on the show, we're going to highlight the Theater at Latitude 58's production of The Miracle Worker, plus two other plays they're doing. We'll get the details about the opening and upcoming SEAS sailing schedule. The Ataka String Quartet will be here with a preview of their performances during this year's Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. Donnie Burris will be here to focus on summer camps at the Zach Gordon Youth Center. United Way Southeast President Wayne Stevens will join us to talk about their literacy cruise. That, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more on a Juno Afternoon. Stay tuned. National Native News is up first.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In Canada, Sean Atliot, the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, has resigned over a bitter debate between Native leaders across the country. It involves the Canadian government's new education bill for First Nations. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
Atliot has fought for years for better education for First Nations children. He's made it one of his main political priorities, but he's faced fierce criticism from some Native leaders across the country for his support for Bill C-33. That's the Harper government's First Nations education legislation. Atliot says the current proposal on education is the latest attempt and a sincere, constructive effort on the part of the Prime Minister to take a step forward. But the bill has also divided Aboriginal chiefs across the country. Atliot says the work on education must go on. Atliot has called Bill C-33 a necessary step toward giving First Nations control of their schooling. His critics say the legislation would keep most of that control in the hands of the federal government. Some have even warned they would do whatever is necessary to oppose the bill. Prime Minister Stephen Harper issued a statement saying he was saddened by Atliot's decision, adding that when Atliot became the national chief, the government worked closely with him to strengthen the historic relationship with First Nations. Atliot was first elected in 2009 and won re-election by a large majority in June of 2012. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The largest tribal organization in Alaska's Southeast Panhandle has a new president. His predecessor retired. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
The Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska has about 29,000 members in and outside of the region. Delegates chose Richard Peterson of Kasan as their new president during a recent tribal assembly in Juneau, Alaska's capital. Peterson has been a vice president of the organization's executive council and president of Kasan's tribal council. His hometown is an island village with fewer than 100 residents. He told tribal assembly delegates he will work with everyone he can.
I know that I can accomplish what we need because I won't be I, it'll be we.
Peterson takes over from Ed Thomas, Central Council president for 27 of the past 30 years. The council provides education, housing, financial assistance, foster care, and other programs. For National Native News, this is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
A failed referendum presents a stumbling block for Lac du Flambeau's off-reservation casino plan for southern Wisconsin. WXPR's Natalie Jablonski has more.
Lac du Flambeau tribal members have voted not to continue funding the application process for a casino in Shelbsburg, Wisconsin. The margin was extremely close, with just two votes deciding the outcome. Lac du Flambeau spokesperson Brandon Tomes says the next step is for the tribal council to discuss options with the Shelbsburg work group.
Hopefully that this isn't the end, you know, because the tribe has invested many resources, time, energy into this project, and it would really be a setback if this wasn't given a full faith effort.
Tom says the tribe may want to try and broaden support for the project. It will also look into alternate funding sources. Lac du Flambeau has been working with the Federal Bureau of Indian Affairs on an environmental impact statement for the Shelbsburg Casino Resort Complex. The tribe recently celebrated an agreement with the city of Shelbsburg that ironed out some of the terms of the deal. For National Native News, I'm Natalie Jablonski.
In May 2013, hundreds of visitors traveled to Wrangell, Alaska for the rededication of the Shakes Island Tribal House. It was rebuilt after years of harsh weather took toll on the 1940s structure. The celebration included traditional Native foods, games, storytelling, canoeing, and dancing. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, with funding from ConocoPhillips, Alaska's oil and gas company, supported by the National Indian Education Association, an inclusive Native organization representing Native students, educators, families, communities, and tribes. Membership registration available at niea.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And my guests in the studio here are too numerous to mention, so I'm going to let them introduce themselves here. But these are members of Theater at Latitude 58. And, okay, there's eight of you in here, so starting from the side here.
Excellent. I'm Cinnamon Simpson, Artistic Director.
I'm Karen Allen, Guest Director of The Miracle Worker.
I'm Cameron Dirk.
I'm Melissa Engel.
I'm Allie Lee.
I'm Piper Simpson.
I'm Taylor Simpson.
Okay, welcome all of you to a Juno afternoon. How are all of you?
Good.
Okay, now we're going to highlight some plays that you are going to be putting on this summer, starting out with The Miracle Worker. So who would like to give a brief synopsis of the play and how many performers you have in it?
The Miracle Worker was written by William Gibson, and it won the Tony in 1959, and it starred both on stage and on film Patty Duke and Anne Bancroft in the roles of Helen Keller and Annie Sullivan, and it is the story of Helen Keller, who was left blind and deaf by an illness just after her first birthday, and the struggles her teacher Annie Sullivan went through to teach her language and to teach her to communicate with the world around her.
Okay, and how many people are actually going to be performing in the play?
We have 12 performers.
Okay.
And we range in age from 9 to somewhere between 40 and 50, and we don't specify beyond there.
Okay. Are any of you in this one? Okay, Sarah is, but she doesn't want to talk here. All right. And I know that you're a family-oriented theater, and you were founded in 2011. So would you tell our listeners a little bit about that, because you're relatively new?
We are relatively new. Actually, it was kind of an exciting adventure for us to start, because we have something that not many theaters in Juneau have, and that is that we are all family. It is all ages. We have everything from my two-year-old son has been on stage up to grandmas. We've got four generations on the stage this season.
Okay, so you're very inclusional then.
We are indeed.
All right. And this is just the first of three plays that you're doing for this summer.
It is. It is. And actually, we're running them all this weekend. We're running three shows in repertory. Miracle Worker starts on Wednesday. And then we also have 1,000 Cranes, and we also have Danger the Dogyard Cat.
Okay. Tell everybody a little bit about the other two plays.
Great. I'm going to turn it over if somebody wants to talk about 1,000 Cranes.
All right. So 1,000 Cranes is about Sadako Sasaki, who she was born in 1945. Sorry. And she ended up, she was around when the A-bomb went off to start out World War II, and does somebody else want to take over?
All right. So Sadako Sasaki, when she was 12 years old, approximately 10 years after the A-bomb went off in Hiroshima, actually ended up with leukemia, or what they called the A-bomb disease. This story is all about what happened as her sickness progressed and how her classmates carry on her dream.
Okay. And it involves the folding of origami style of 1,000 cranes.
It does indeed. How many have we folded?
We have folded 1,000.
We have indeed.
To send to the Hiroshima Peace Park.
Okay, very good, very good. And would anybody like to explain a little bit about the parts that are in the play?
There are five actors. There is actor Gold, actor blue, actor green, actor pink, and actor red. I am actor gold.
I am actor blue.
Who do you play, Piper Simpson?
It's okay, don't be afraid. Just keep right up here.
She plays a schoolgirl and...
She plays a deaf school child.
Mm-hmm. A deaf school child.
And Cameron, who do you play?
I play a warrior.
That's right.
Okay, and what motivated you to select these three for this summer?
Well, we wanted to give our performers a chance to work in smaller casts. You know, in the fall, we did a giant musical, Seussical, which had all ages and a cast of thousands. But part of our mission in doing educational theater is to make sure that everyone has a chance to learn and to grow as a performer. And so we decided to do three different shows. And Cinnamon selected A Thousand Cranes because it's a story that matters very much to her. And I'm a theater geek my entire life, and I've always wanted to direct The Miracle Worker, so I got my opportunity. And Janice Hurley was inspired by her graduate work to create a story ballet of Danger the Dogyard Cat.
All right, so that opens it up for Cinnamon to tell us a little bit about that last play.
Excellent. Danger the Dogyard Cat was written by Libby Riddles and illustrated by Shannon Cartwright, and they actually gave Janice Hurley carte blanche to create as she will with that story. And so it's all about the story of a cat who has been picked from the gnome dog yard by Libby Riddles, who is a dog musher, and she has a wonderful dream about becoming the lead animal in a mushing team. And I won't give away the end.
Well, that's a pretty tough duty for a cat.
That's right. It's a tough cat.
In the midst of 57 huskies.
That's right.
Yeah, and 57 below zero, too, probably.
That's right. That's right.
Cats don't like the cold.
So all of these actors have worked so, so hard, and I'm so incredibly excited for Juno to come and see them. They have worked very hard.
Okay, and please highlight again the plays and when they start and when people can see them.
Excellent. Miracle Worker starts Wednesday at 7 p.m. at McFeeters Hall. Thursday evening is Danger the Dogyard Cat as well as Sotico. We also have Miracle Worker Friday night. We have Danger and Sotico on Saturday afternoon. Miracle Worker on Saturday evening. And then Mother's Day is Danger the Dogyard Cat and Thousand Cranes.
Okay, Cinnamon, and is there any cost for these plays? Please highlight that.
They are. There is $10 for students and $15 for adults.
Oh, that's not much at all.
Nah.
And where can people get their tickets?
They can get them at Hearthside or at the door, but come early.
Okay, very good. Well, Cinnamon and cast, who I can't remember all of you, so there's no way I'm going to even try, but thank you very much for being our guests in the studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 5th of May, 2014. It's the birthday of Kierkegaard, the philosopher Søren Kierkegaard, born in Copenhagen in 1813, born to a wealthy wool merchant who left the boy enough money so that he was financially independent for the rest of his life. He rarely left Copenhagen, Kierkegaard, but he enjoyed the theater. He took carriage rides out into the country. He was a sociable man, widely considered now the father of existential philosophy. He gave us two concepts that are commonplace to us today. One is subjectivity, the idea that we all perceive the world differently, and the other is the leap of faith, that faith is not possible without doubt. One must doubt the existence of God to have faith in the existence of God, make a leap from one to the other, that belief without doubt is simply credulity. It was on this day in 1215 a group of angry English barons renounced their loyalty to King John, who was a dreadful ruler. He'd led disastrous military campaigns in France. He had increased taxes to pay for them. He had a reputation for violent rage. He was rumored to have raped the daughters and wives of some of his noblemen. And so a group of about 40 barons formally broke their oath of loyalty to the king, and the king agreed to negotiate with them. And out of the negotiation came the Magna Carta, which made various arrangements for his relations to the noblemen, but most important to us included the famous clause, "No free man shall be seized or imprisoned or stripped of his rights or possessions or outlawed or exiled, nor will we proceed with force against him, except by the lawful judgment of his equals or by the law of the land." In other words, guaranteeing a trial by jury. It is the anniversary of the founding of the Atlantic Monthly Magazine, 1857. Emerson was there, and Longfellow, James Russell Lowell, Oliver Wendell Holmes. Holmes was the one who gave it its name, and Lowell became its first editor, and the first magazine hit the stands the following November, 1857. And today is Cinco de Mayo, commemorating the Mexican victory over the French in 1862. Here's a poem for today by William Blake, "The Divine Image." To mercy, pity, peace, and love, all pray in their distress, and to these virtues of delight return their thankfulness. For mercy, pity, peace, and love is God, our Father dear, and mercy, pity, peace, and love is man, his child in care. For mercy has a human heart, pity a human face, and love the human form divine, and peace the human dress. Then every man of every clime that prays in his distress prays to the human form divine, love, mercy, pity, peace. And all must love the human form in heathen, Turk, or Jew, where mercy, love, and pity dwell, their God is dwelling too. William Blake's poem, "The Divine Image." That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity.com, a brain training program designed by neuroscientists that has been used by 50 million people worldwide. More at Lumosity.com. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Invites you to help keep Juneau's roadways and trails free of trash at the 98th annual Juneau Cleanup on Saturday, May 10th. Last year, over 11 tons of trash was collected and sent to the landfill and recycle center. Sign-ups and bags available from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on the 10th, and a complete list of locations can be found at litterfree.org. Encourage your family, friends, and coworkers to take part in this fun annual event. More details at litterfree.org.
3:18 p.m. in Juneau, and a Juneau afternoon continues. My guests now are from the Southeast Alaska Sailing Club, and with me in the studio is James Bibb, who's the Vice Commodore, and Bridget LaPenter. Hi, both of you. Welcome
Hello.
To the
Hi.
Show.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Okay, and you're going to extend it to everybody the great interest that you have in sailing and tell us about the schedule of events for this summer.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're looking forward to a great season. We've had wonderful weather and a lot of wind.
Yeah, we are just starting this week. I think we're going to, you know, this Wednesday we're going to get our first Get Out the Boat event. And then we have our annual party this Friday. It's our party, I believe it's over in Sandy Beach. And that's kind of a get-together and get-to-know-people. It's a great opportunity to come and talk to us about sailing. And then we have our first Seas Cup race this weekend, this Saturday, which is the start of our season.
Okay, and how long is this race that's coming up, the first one?
The race is just a day race, and we typically have about seven boats that turn up to the starting line. We'd like to increase that to 10 boats this year at least. So that's one of the club's goals. And anybody who's interested in sailing with the Southeast Alaska Sailing Club could come at any one of these events this week,
yeah.
Wednesday, to the Get Out the Boat. You could walk the docks or contact someone from the club by taking a look at our website.
Yeah. And we'd like to encourage you. There's always a need for crew, and it's a great opportunity. If you don't get out sailing too much and you have a boat and want to learn, or if you're interested in sailing and never done it before, it's a great opportunity to get out and do it in a relaxed manner.
Okay, and Bridget, you've got 8 different main events, I would call them, planned through Labor Day.
We do. Yeah, we have typically about 2 races a month, we have all-night, overnight races that maybe last 2 days, and then we also have the Admiralty Cup.
Yeah. And that's a great one. It's mid-season, and it's a round Admiralty, they call it, and it alternates every, it's either a very serious race, which is nonstop, and then every other year we have a more of a recreational race where it goes day-to-day and it's a little more relaxed. And this year it's going to be the relaxed race, so it's a great opportunity to see Admiralty and go around.
So you go around the island, and it's a week-long event, so each day there's a separate race, and at the end of the week, that determines who won the cup.
Yeah. Very good. And what do you do in the event of like higher seas and inclement weather and stuff like that? Do you guys sail on anyway?
We plow right through it.
You plow right through it, okay.
Unless, I mean, if it becomes unsafe, you know, it's the skipper's call, but typically if it's unsafe, then you could just, you know, bring in the sails and turn on the motor and get to port, you know.
Yeah, it's usually done in a manner which makes people feel comfortable to a point. And the nice thing about it, when you're with a group of 7 or 10 or whoever's out there, then you have that much more support there in case there is a concern at any rate.
Right, because, we can get those seas come up pretty quick in, like, Chatham Straits. So it's, you wind up getting 4-foot rollers and stuff. That's kind of rough.
Yeah, we definitely, you know, use caution and listen to all the weather, appropriate weather reports and make some, you know, but all of our sailors typically, even if you have a boat and you're not very confident with your own sailing skills, we could gladly get somebody who has more experience to race with you so that you'd feel more comfortable and confident in your sailing and you can join our races in that way. So, I think it's a great opportunity for someone who's interested in sailing, maybe lives aboard their sailboat, but doesn't often feel confident enough to take it away from the dock. So,
right. And is there an opportunity for somebody to come on just as crew? I mean, they don't have to have their own boat?
Absolutely. We love introducing people to crew. The best way to get involved with that is on the Wednesday Get Out the Boat events every Wednesday from this Wednesday through the rest of the summer at 5 p.m., we'll be taking out boats.
Yeah, on the channel there, and it's you probably have seen us over the years, and we tend to get the boats out on Wednesday midweek to have a little more comfortable, less racing condition, but just get out and have a nice time. And it's a good time to get to know the skippers and get crew gathered and plan for the race events.
Okay, and I was going to ask you what you would do as far as getting your membership to increase, what sort of activities do you have going on in order to generate more awareness?
So, being able to be on Juno Afternoon, just getting the word out there. You know, we want anybody and everyone who's interested or think they might be interested in sailing to join us on Friday, May 9th, this Friday, at 4:30 to 9 p.m. at the Sandy Beach Shelter on Douglas. And we would just a shake and howdy. It'll be a potluck, visit with sailors, meet skippers, meet other crew members if you're just crew, and that's a good way. I mean, this Wednesday, you could at this point, you could call Joel Osborne, our Commodore, and I can give his number at 209-7897, and he'd gladly try to match people with boats, but typically, you know, James has his own boat, and he takes people out and would be happy to take newbies on a Wednesday night just to see if they like it.
You know? There's always room for crew members. It's rarely a time that there's no space. In fact, we actively look for crew members to come and enjoy it.
Right. So if somebody was thinking that they might be interested in sailing, this would be a good opportunity to get out on the water and find out if it's really your cup of tea.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so Wednesdays, especially in a more relaxed, non-racing environment, that's every Wednesday from this Wednesday through the rest of the summer. You can plan that into your schedule. We would be happy to have you. So, you know, definitely come out this Friday for the informative but relaxed barbecue-type setting. We're having the event at Sandy Beach.
Yeah, and we have a website at seasailing.us, and all the information's on there as well as a calendar.
But if you went on to Google and just searched Southeast Alaska Sailing, you'd be directed directly to our website.
Right. Yeah. I've been on that already today, and... some of the events are, like you said, the ones a week long for the Admiralty sale, but most of them are just day events that you're going to have?
Typically day or weekend. Sometimes it's a two-day race.
Yeah, we have some nice ones. Well, I really like it because, you know, typically we race out of the Gatineau Channel, the south side of Juneau for the most part. And so one of the overnights will be to Admiralty Cove, or we'll go down to Taku Inlet. We have a couple of destinations we usually do, which are fun places to go anchor up and have a nice beach party and a dinner. And then we do a nice one north of town. We try to get over to Funner Bay, which is a nice destination north of town.
That's a really fun sailing adventure with a fleet of boats. So it's great.
Okay. And this coming Friday is the spring party and boating gear swap.
Yep. That's at Sandy
Beach.
What
kind of gear can you swap?
So cleats. Anchors, any sort of...
Everybody has a box in their garage. Everybody owns a boat, and
bizarre.
That's usually see.
Yeah.
You see a bunch of stuff show up, and what usually happens in a town like this, you order something, and it just didn't fit, and it hangs out in the box. And so it's fun to see what comes out, and we have anything and everything shows up, and it's quite an event.
Yeah, from dock lines to strange fish finders, anything you might have. You can bring it out, boat hooks, whatever. You know,
there's an incredible buy. We had one summer. We had an incredible buy and an outboard, and an inflatable. I mean, something you'd have was, and it was like half the price you'd ever find it used somewhere. Just people need to get rid of it, and it's just a great opportunity.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd like to have gotten an outboard and an inflatable.
Yeah,
that would have been great.
Yeah.
Okay, and for your Wednesdays, where would people meet you for the Wednesday events every? Wednesday at 5.
Well, so that's the tricky part because the boats are, you know, in Harris, in Aurora, in Auk Bay. But it would probably be best to contact somebody from the club first and just call or email, and you can do that by visiting our website. And that way we can match you up with a skipper and a boat or...
Yeah, let us know. If you can get through the website, we even have a Facebook page, and we have a message board there. And if you don't hear from us right away... try again, and because we actively try to look at that for messages. And I know last year we picked up a couple of crew members simply by going through the website saying they're interested.
Okay, and give that address out again for people that would like to leave a message or find out a little bit more information.
So the Facebook page is, if you just search Southeast Alaska Sailing in Facebook, it'll come right up. And then we have a website that's seasailing.us.
Okay, very good. James Bibb and Bridget LePenter, thank you very much for being our guests in the studio today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now I've got a little bit of music here from one of our featured artists in this year's Juneau Jazz and Classics Festival. This is the Ataka Quartet, and their song is The Bird. This is off the Best of the 68 CD, and they are actually going to be our guests next in the studio. Thank you. Okay, that was the Ataka Quartet, and this is off their CD, The Best of the 68. They are one of our featured artists in this year's Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. They've already been in town for a couple of days, and they've already had an event happen this afternoon and one coming up this evening. But right now I've got two members in the studio, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Andrew Yee. I'm the cellist.
Hi, I'm Keiko Tokunaga, and I'm the second violinist.
Well, so we got half of the quartet that's here. Okay. How are you liking it here so far in Juneau?
Oh, it's gorgeous. And we hear the weather stays like this all year round.
Somebody's lying like a rug to you because it doesn't do that. Nice try, though. But yeah. This time of the year, usually not that bad. But then everybody starts complaining about the pollen in the air.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. It's gorgeous, though. We love it. Love it.
All right. And how long have you been a quartet?
We started in 2003, so that's, 11 years?
Mm. Yeah, 11 years.
Yeah.
Okay, and the CD that I played the bird from, which was The Best of the 68, where did that title come from?
So the 68 came about. The 68 is a project that we do in New York where we are going to play all 68 of Haydn's string quartets in concert. So it's going to take about 6 years. And we are most of the way through at this point. We have two more seasons to go, and it's been an incredible experience. And that CD represents the first 2 years, our favorite tracks from that Haydn project that we did.
The ones we didn't mess up on.
Yeah, we didn't. They're all live, so the ones that we just happened to not make mistakes, yeah.
Or the ones that you didn't make any mistakes.
Yeah.
So they're also good ones to put on the CD.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and the one that I picked out called The Bird, I kind of previewed the CD last week and really enjoyed it. And I picked that one to feature for both of you. And when I said, I'm playing one of your tracks, and you said, well, which one is it? And I said, oh, it's one called The Bird. And he's like, oh, yeah, we really like that one.
Oh, yeah.
So I must have picked a good one then. But how do you select the tracks that go onto a CD? Is it just kind of you go through them and you call your favorites out? Or
we try to have a good mix of, broad first movements and some really juicy slow movements and showy last movements. It's sort of showing off all the movements of Haydn that most people have never heard. If they don't want to commit to buying a two CD box set of the Opus 50s, sight unseen, they can hear a few of the tracks that we have on our disc. So,
all right, and you just had an event that took place this afternoon, so. Keiko, why don't you tell us about that?
Okay, it was a lunchtime concert called the Brown Bag Concert, and it was mostly for kids. I believe they were about 6 years, 7 years old, maybe. But what we did was we introduced ourselves, and then we asked them to help create a story that came to their minds as we played the last movement of the Dvorak American. And we ended up with a story that goes like this. Joey and Lillian, they were playing in the park, by the ocean, and there were dolphins everywhere. But unfortunately, Joey got kidnapped by a shark alien, so Lillian had to go rescue him.
Yeah, she was very sad.
And she was very sad. But then she exchanged a cow for Joey's life, and they lived happily ever after.
And this is what some seven-year-old came up with.
Yes.
it was a combination of about 12 yeah. to 15 seven-year-olds coming up with some stories, so it was great.
Wow. Imaginations work pretty over time here.
Yeah.
All right. And the event that's coming up this evening, I know what it is, but please tell our listeners what it is.
Yeah, it's called Brew and Beethoven. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to feature two of our favorite things, which are Beethoven and free beer. And I don't know if everyone gets free beer. I know we get free beer.
I usually haven't put that together. Beethoven and free beer. Wow.
But it's going to be great. We're going to play Opus 18, number 1 of Beethoven's, which is one of our favorites. And I believe Alaska Brewery is providing some beer. And it's going to be great. And, we might play more if the audience
if
wants us
enough,
to.
Yeah.
And also if the audience keeps bringing us beer. That's the key. Is that we want to be interrupted by audience members giving us a cold bottle of beer. That would be great.
We have to float the suds to both of you.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
And then you've got an event that's coming up tomorrow, which is called the Strings Workshop, and that's at the UAS Egan. Mm-hmm. So what do you cover in a strings workshop for people?
It depends on the orchestra, but usually we end up playing for them a little bit, and then either we do a sectional, work with each instrument, or we just, ask them to play for us and give them a few suggestions and talk about music and nerd out.
All right, and then the final event that you're in town for, it looks like on Thursday, May 8th, where you're going to be at the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church at 7 o'clock. So is that the last event? Because that's kind of what I saw looking at the calendar here.
That's the last one. And actually, that one's going to be very fun because this is the first time that as a quartet we've played this piece, Tchaikovsky's Souvenir to Florence, and we're playing, with Paul Rosenthal and Andre, and there's some great musicians. And also we get to feature a quartet that's very close to our hearts, which is the Fanny Mendelssohn Quartet, which is Felix's sister. Felix Mendelssohn's sister, Fanny, wrote this amazing quartet where each movement is unbelievably beautiful. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited to play that for people. It always goes over really well. And
if you like what you hear, you can purchase a CD of Fanny Mendelssohn at the event.
Right, and Andrew, as a cellist, how do you find the harmony between what everybody else is playing on the higher pitched instruments?
Mm. It's I really like playing the cello in a quartet. Oh, lucky for me, because I feel like I see myself as sort of the frame of the house. So I do everything I can to imagine, how the interior decorator is going to decorate the walls and what tiles they're going to put on the outside, and do my best to sort of provide that structure, and sort of hope that everything sort of comes together around it. That's my philosophy.
Yeah, without good bass, even though we try our best, we can't sound as good.
All right, Kiko, and how do you fit in with two other people that are playing, relatively high-pitched instruments? Because all three of you work together.
Right. Well, somebody once said that the string quartet is like a bottle of wine. Cello is the bottle. The first violin is the label. And the second violin and viola is the wine. So I'd like to think that in my quartet, Luke, the violist is the grape juice, and I'm the alcohol. Basically, what I do is connect everyone's parts together, and there's a lot of, difficulties and joy of doing that. So,
I love the way you put that. That's pretty good. You're the alcohol.
Yeah.
All right.
No doubt.
And there's going to be plenty of that tonight there, hopefully, at the Alaska Brewing Company. So actually, people have had a couple of opportunities to see you perform, and there are a few left. So let's go down them again and make sure everybody knows what they are and what's coming up here. Okay, so this evening from 5:30 to 6:30 at the Alaska Brewing Company Downtown Depot. You're all there.
It's going to be
cool. It's a free one. Yeah.
It's going to be perfect.
Okay, it's going to be a good one.
Yep.
Free beer and free music. Boy, you can't beat this.
Can't lose.
All right, and then tomorrow you're at the UAS Egan from 7 to 9 for the strings workshop.
It's going to be great.
All right, and finally, the last chance people have to see you during the Jazz and Classics show is Thursday the 8th, and that's at 7 p.m., Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. And this one's called Chocolate, Cheese, and Tchaikovsky.
Mm. Nice.
So how much Tchaikovsky are you going to be playing?
Any?
Or is it just because it worked in with the title?
Yeah. The Souvenir of Florence is what, like 18 hours long, right? No, it's it's long, but it's great. It's kind of like throwing a out of control party.
Yeah.
Of a sextet.
With chocolate and cheese.
With chocolate and cheese.
Yes.
Is there actually going to be chocolate and cheese?
I hope so.
You know,
it's kind of advertised that way. So
you know, if they don't give us chocolate
yeah.
and cheese, there's going to be hell
a riot.
To pay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's hope that they actually have the chocolate and cheese. All right, now I wanted to highlight one other thing because we're looking at the flyer here, and it says that the tickets you can go to I'm not stealing your thunder. I hope here, but jazzandclassics.org. Or you can phone 907-463-3378. You can get them in person at the Jack Hearthside Books and at the door, which I'm assuming is at the door for any event, really. Or you can fill out the form and mail it to, and there's a address and everything, but we're halfway into this thing, and I think it's too late for people to mail stuff off. Finally, at the bottom, though, it says that if you want to attend three different shows, you get a 5% discount. If you go to 5, you get a 7% discount. And if you pick 7 different events, you get the 7-show discount of 10%.
Wow.
So it's actually not bad. If you want to attend several of the functions, that's a pretty good deal. Even if you're just doing 3, you get 5% off. That's pretty good. So there's your opportunities to see them. They're the Ataka String Quartet, and they are one of the featured artists in this year's Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. And again, we only had half the quartet here, but Andrew Yee and Kiko
Tokunaga.
Okay, well,
you're pretty close.
I had your first name right. All right, it's been wonderful having you both in the studio, and hopefully get to see you tonight out there at the Alaska Brewing Company downtown location, and that one's a freebie, folks, so if you got some time, stop by for free beer and free music. That'll be great. Thank you both again for being our guests in the studio today.
Thank you so much.
You.
All right, and speaking of the Juno Jazz and Classics Festival, I've got one other song to play. This is by the Nikki Hill Band, and she is actually going to be here on Friday for a dance show, and I'll talk a little bit more about that as we go here. And on Saturday, on May 10th, on the Blues Cruise, but this is the Nikki Hill Band with a song called Her Destination.
My same on that bed. If you try to take him
You teach him to respect the land. You teach him to respect the game. You teach him to respect the sea. And to respect his culture. But are you teaching him to respect women? Real Alaska men choose respect.
Brought to you by the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
And as Juneau Afternoon continues at 3:46 p.m., I'm here with Donnie Burris. She's here to highlight the summer camps at the Zach Gordon Youth Center. Hi, Donnie.
Hi.
Nice to see you again.
Thanks. Nice to see you, too.
Okay. And how are these filling up?
They're doing okay. We have about six camps left that aren't full. And I just thought it'd be fair to get out there and promote it a little bit and give these parents something to look forward to for the summer. Currently, we have the Summer Fun Camp. That's June 2nd through the 6th. And we have three spaces left in that camp. And Summer Fun is all about, that week of camp is all about exploring art. We'll be doing fishing, some beach exploring. We're going to have a bonfire at Eagle Beach. And we have three spaces left in that camp. The rest of the camps that we have open are all $80, and they're from 1 to 4:30 p.m. So that's one of the camps that we have, and we have a couple others that I'd like to talk about. We have the Climb Juno Camp, and that's June 9th through the 13th. That one's going to be headed by Jesse Palomino. If you guys use the Rock Dump, he is frequent over there, as well as Zach Gordon. He's our teen advocate. And he's going to teach kids how to do some rock climbing. They're going to go out and explore places around Juneau, find cool boulders. He's going to teach them the fundamentals, things they should look for. He's really good at it. It's a really cool class. It's a great experience to learn about climbing in Juneau. We also have, and that camp has four spaces left. Each camp has, we have a max of 10 kids. That particular camp has four spaces left, so they are filling up, and but there's four spaces left for those who are still planning kids' summer. We also have the Summer Olympics camp, and that's full of Olympic-type sports. We do racing, we do hula hooping, we do an obstacle course. We also do a wacky Summer Olympic Day where we do water sports, we do we throw balloons, we do the egg toss, we get really messy and wet and crazy. And that class is June 16th through the 20th, and we have three spaces left in that camp. They're each a week long, by the way. Also, we have the Exploring the Tongass Camp. That's a new one, and it will be headed by our Jesuit volunteers. We have two. We're fortunate to have Hillary Zander and Mara Baker, and they are going to show kids how to explore the Tongass. That's a nice camp. It's going to be from June 23rd through the 27th. There's only two spaces left in that camp, so it's still available. There's two spaces left. And again, that one is June 23rd through 27th. We also have Take a Hike, and that's going to be a hiking camp. They're going to do trails all over Juneau. They're going to go up to the tram. They are going to just explore different trails around Juneau. They're going to they're going to make their own plans, and they get to vote where they want to hike. So it's definitely something kids enjoy to do. They get to vote on where they want to go, and that's July 21st through the 25th. That camp has five spaces left, and some of the key places they wanted to go was Dewpoint Beach, of course, up the tram, the Rainforest Trail, Salmon Creek. That one's going to be a nice one for all those kid hikers out there.
Okay, Donnie, so each of these ones is a week long. They're all limited to 10 registrants.
Yes.
And it's all between what ages?
So Take a Hike is from ages 8 to 13. Some of them are different. So is Summer Fun, which also has spaces. They're 8 to 13. Climb Juno and Summer Olympics are 9 to 13. And the Take a Hike is also 8 to 13. The last one that we have space in is Capture the Sights, and that's August 4th through the 8th. That's from ages 9 to 13. And that's also going to be headed by Jesse Palomino, and he is going to take kids around, and they're going to explore Juno through photography. So they get to have a camera, take pictures, make a book at the end of the week, and go home with it. And that, again, is 9 to 13.
Okay, Donnie, and where can people go if they want more information? What website would they go to?
They could go to juno.org and click on the Zach Gordon Youth Center link. They can also come down to Zach Gordon Youth Center where we have printed registration papers and also class descriptions. They could register in person or they could fax it in to 586-2186.
Okay, Donnie, thanks for being our guest in the studio and telling us about the Zach Gordon Youth Center summer camp programs.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
This is Bird Note. Millions of birds are winging their way north, some over thousands of miles. In her jazz composition, Cerulean Skies, composer Maria Schneider and her band celebrate their return.
What really inspires me when I'm looking at the birds that I see in Central Park is imagining the journey that they've been on. All these birds, thousands of birds, are going up into the air and disappearing, a little pinprick into the sky. And then we go into the mind's eye of one little warbler that's navigating and flying by the light of the stars. So delicate, and you think about the mystery of it all, and you just think, wow, we're so small in what we can do, and this is just, it's so big. And then you feel completely insignificant, and at the same time it makes you feel more significant because you're a part of it. That's what I love about getting out in nature and taking those things in.
To hear more of our interview with Maria Schneider, join us at birdnote.org.
The KTOO KRNN Spring Auction runs now through May 9th. All of your pre-bidding can be done online at ktoo.org. There's items from your favorite local businesses, including Rainbow Foods, Alaska Seaplanes, Gastineau Guiding, and more. On May 10th, listen from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. on KTOO and KRNN for one final round of bidding and awarding of the items. That's the KTOO Spring Auction online now through May 9th. More details at ktoo.org.
And before I bring my next guest on, I got to say a little bit of a retraction here. When I had the Ataka String Quartet on here, tonight's event is free downtown for the beer. That's going to be that's actually Brew and Beethoven. But I don't think that the beer is free. It is if you go to the brewing company location down there by Costco. You can actually get a few samples, and that's free. But I don't know if they're giving out the beer. They're giving out the music, though. The music is free, and I know that 100%. But right now, my guest is United Way Southeast President Wayne Stevens, and he's going to talk to us about the upcoming literacy cruise. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Well, good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the invitation to share a few moments with you.
Okay.
And your great listening audience. Just wanted to bring people up to speed on our annual dinner cruise out to Orca Point Lodge. Alan Marine graciously donates a dinner cruise to United Way to use, and we head out to Orca Point Lodge for dinner, salmon chicken dinner, and spend an evening of conversation talking about an issue near and dear to United Way, which is literacy. This year we have Don Reardon, an author from the Bethel area, who's now living in Anchorage, teaching in Anchorage, joining us, author of The Raven's Gift, and he'll be sharing his thoughts on reading, writing, literacy, and available to talk to folks about his work, and he'll make a presentation that while we're out there at Orca Point. It is $100 a head for dinner and the cruise. Need to be out at Auk Bay by 5:30. Boat departs promptly at 6 p.m., and we'll be back at the dock about 8:30. So it's a fun evening, and certainly if the weather were to be as delightful as this, it would be an extra special evening. So,
okay, like how quickly does this sell out?
Well, we've still got tickets left. I have not checked recently. I know we've been selling tickets, and they're moving at a good clip, and certainly I want to encourage people to get online at our website, unitedwayseak.org, or they can stop by either location of Hearthside Books. They are also selling tickets for us. So it should be a fun evening and great conversation, and look forward to sharing the evening with folks.
That's pretty good, a cruise plus dinner for $100 a piece.
Well, if you go to the Allen Marine website and go to buy the same afternoon cruise, it's substantially more than that. So it's a great bargain. If you haven't been over to Orca Point Lodge and had an opportunity to ride around the back of Colt Island, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Juneau, but seems like another whole world out there. Very beautiful. And be good conversation. Lots of good conversation.
Okay, very good. Anything else that you wanted to add about the cruise?
Well, just again, thank Allen Marine for their gracious support of United Way. Westmark Hotels is also providing some support this year. Mr. Reardon's coming down and going to spend a couple days. He's a board member of the 49 Writers Group, and they're going to do a couple of activities on Thursday after our event. And so he'll be, I believe, visiting with you on either Wednesday afternoon or Thursday afternoon to talk more about their programs.
Okay, very good. Well, Wayne Stevens from United Way Southeast, thank you very much for being our guest in the studio today.
My pleasure, and thank you.
And it's 3:58. You're tuned to KTOO in Juneau, 104.3. Tonight's forecast is calling for mostly sunny skies, but becoming partly cloudy with lows in the upper 30s to low 40s, and north winds at about 10 miles an hour, shifting to the west late. Tomorrow's forecast, sunny again with highs in the upper 50s to low 60s, northwest winds at 5 to 15 miles an hour, shifting to the southwest later in the afternoon. And by the weekend, there may be a chance of rain creeping back into the picture. So plan accordingly, I guess, but so far it's been a fantastic run of weather. And again, reminding everybody that the Juneau Jazz and Classics is still running, and it's going to continue all the way until May 17th. Plenty of events still available to attend, so check it out, and hopefully you can get to go to one of them. This is KTOO in Juneau. We broadcast on 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also broadcast on the following translators. In the Valley and Auk Bay, you can tune to K276 AF, 103.1, Lenman and Schweitzer Creeks at K269 AO. Gustavus listens to us on K201 AM. K220 BT serves Hoonah. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS. In Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Digital Cable, channel 871. And we can also be found online at ktoo.org. And again, we survive on the support of listeners like you out there. It's been a great Juneau afternoon, and you can tune us in tomorrow when who's going to be? Scott Burton's going to be our host tomorrow, but upcoming is All Things Considered. Good day.
A lot of people ask, you know, what's the difference between a remote control helicopter and the thing that you're using? And honestly, there's not a whole lot of difference.
Drones, news gathering, and the Federal Aviation Administration.
For Monday, May 5th, this is All Things Considered from NPR News.
I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Blanc. Coming up, the possible uses of drones and how they might be regulated.
Also, 200 abducted Nigerian schoolgirls are still missing. We'll hear why the government's response has exasperated so many Nigerians.
Politics, really, and politicking has taken over in Nigeria to the detriment of resolving the day-to-day crises.
And political parties have had success in attracting female voters, but when it comes to female candidates, it's a different story.
You need to be asked. Women are still not likely to just take that step on their own.
Those stories in this hour of All Things Considered after the news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. A victory for a small town in New York State that regularly opens its council meetings with a prayer. The Supreme Court ruling today in a 5-4 decision, the mostly Christian prayers which open town council meetings in Greece, New York, do not violate the constitutional separation of church and state. Brett Harvey, senior counsel with the group Alliance for Defending Freedom, backs the ruling.
We're thrilled that the